Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. It has been our privilege to be able to have folks in our ministry sharing the good news of God and what He's done in their lives. We had the privilege of having Pastor Joe Helm with us before, sharing with us numbers of principles of finance and issues like that. But Pastor Joe is with us at this time not to share any financial principles, but to just simply share with us how he got saved and the exciting joy of knowing that he's like a brand snatched out of the fire and a wonderful answer to prayer. Pastor Joe, welcome back to our broadcast and just begin to share your story, which is God's story in your life.
Well, thanks, Pastor Greg. It's great to be with you again and just a real joy to be a part of a ministry that really does have a heart for people and sharing the good news of the gospel. My salvation goes back 35 years ago this month, actually.
Oh, amen.
The day here in August that we're recording this. My family moved to Menominee Falls when I was 3 years old, so for all practical purposes, I'm kind of a Menominee Falls boy, and I grew up there and went through the public school system in Menominee Falls and graduated from high school in 1972. I was not a believer. My family attended a Protestant denominational church in Menominee Falls, to my recollection, and I was through the process of the education there. I was confirmed when I was a freshman in high school, I believe it was. But to my recollection, there really wasn't any real emphasis on having a personal relationship with Christ.
Right.
Coming to the point in your life where you would personally exercise faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ for you and become a child of God. There was, of course, the teaching of biblical truths, and it was more or less the idea that if you simply are aware of these and you intellectually understand them and agree to them, well, then, you know, you're a Christian. And so, consequently, as a result of there really not being a personal connection there for me, shortly after I was confirmed, as my siblings did the same, we just simply dropped out and really never went back.
You were good then, huh?
Yeah.
I'm confirmed, I'm good.
There was really nothing there to interest us and hold us,
and
it didn't seem significant or real or beneficial in our lives.
Sure.
And so, for me, the result of that really was heading in completely the opposite direction, beginning even when I was, as I recall, 14 years old. I began to drink alcohol and just be involved in all kinds of the typical worldly pursuits to try to have fun, try to find fulfillment. And long about the age of 22, I came to the realization that I was miserable. I was not finding fulfillment. I was not really having fun.
Right.
And the Lord began to work in my heart in the fall of 1975. And that work was a work of really what I understand now to be conviction of sin.
Yeah. Right.
It was bringing to my realization and my recognition that I was miserable and that I had no understanding of the purpose in life. Why was I here? Where did I come from? Where was I going? And it all seemed entirely futile to me. Why should I go to college and work hard, get an education, go out and get a job, pay my bills, and die? You know, it didn't seem like there was any really ultimate purpose. And of course, there's not
in that
in and of itself.
Did you know of anybody praying for you and your salvation at this time?
I really didn't. I really didn't. And I've often thought that. And
yeah.
I'd sure that'll be one, you know, incredibly joyful thing to learn about in heaven, because I'm sure there were. And I'm sure my mother was praying for me.
Okay.
With her understanding at that time.
Right.
So basically, make kind of a really long story short, I just began to be troubled in my own heart and soul about life and really becoming despondent and depressed and just really dejected because I really didn't know what was the point of it all.
Now, were you a college graduate at this time?
Oh, no, no. I had gotten in 1 year at University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, and then I dropped out and went actually down to Florida and got a job, was working with some folks down there and just continuing the party lifestyle and whatnot. And then I kind of got tired of working, so I came back and went then to University of Wisconsin Oshkosh, and was at Oshkosh for a year until that fall of 1975, and when the Lord began to really just work in my heart. And I dropped out of school, oddly enough, and I'll tell this story because it's just totally unbelievable. In the fall of 1975, I was entering my junior year of college at UW-Oshkosh, and I was miserable. Like I say, I would lay awake at night just wondering, you know, what is this all about? You know, why live? And I went into the school at UW-Oshkosh, the school psychologist, for counseling. I wanted to just kind of talk to somebody and see, you know, what advice I would get.
Right.
And so they gave me this battery of aptitude tests and all kinds of psychological tests, I guess. And so I fill out all this paperwork and take all these exams or whatever. And I come back a couple of weeks later, and the answer that the psychologist gave me was that, and this was a PhD, mind you, and he basically says, well, my suggestion is that you quit school, travel around the country, and get your head together.
Okay.
And so that was his advice.
And, of course, that's what you'd done 2 years before.
Exactly. Well, I did it again. I followed his advice. So I went out, visited a good friend of mine in Colorado for a little bit, and I figured, you know, he was still in the same rut that I was in, and so I wasn't learning anything there.
Oh, wow.
So I went back down to Florida where I had some connections, and I began to try to look for work. And I really couldn't find work, and before you knew it, I was really out of funds, and I didn't want to humble myself and call my parents and ask for money at that age. I was 23 by that time.
Right.
And so I was contemplating different ways in which I might be able to acquire some money fast.
In an honest way.
Well,
maybe not.
Maybe not. And so cutting right through that story, the Lord just brought me one night. I was contemplating a really stupid thing.
Okay.
And it was an amazing experience that I'll never forget.
Mm-hmm.
That what I know now to be the Holy Spirit simply came down on me in conviction of sin that I could not escape. And ultimately, I fell on my knees and I just cried out to God. Now, I did not know the gospel at that time.
I see.
But what I did is I repented.
Yes, right.
I repented huge. You know, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And instantly, I had a peace. I went to bed that night, got up the next morning, packed my car, drove back from Miami, Florida, up to my parents' home in Menominee Falls. And just all the way home driving, I was telling myself, I'm turning a new leaf. I'm going to be a law-abiding, good guy, Boy Scout leader. Mm-hmm. I was just going to be totally righteous, you know, and not having a clue that I was not able to do that on my own.
Yeah.
But I was sure determined to do it. So I got home, and remember, my parents at that time were not born-again believers.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that something pretty amazing must have happened in my life because I was just staying home every night. I wasn't going out partying and whatever.
Right.
But they didn't really want to delve into it, so they didn't ask me anything much about it. But you know, as often is the case at that age, I, you know, began to be lonely and I wanted fellowship. And so I began to wonder about my old friends and what they were doing. And so the next thing I know, I'm driving around town. And then the next thing you know, I'm driving around the bar where I knew my old friends were.
Right.
And one night I, of course, stopped and went in there. But this is just another miracle how God was so faithful.
Right.
That as soon as I went in there and started walking around, the conviction of the Holy Spirit came back on me.
Mm.
I said, this is not the answer. And I ran out of there and began to search in bookstores for books on happiness or whatever. I didn't know what I was looking for. I just knew I needed something and I wanted
the answers. You needed a change.
Yeah, I needed a change. Yeah. I wanted the answers to life. So I'm going around these bookstores looking for books, and I stumbled upon this book about transcendental meditation.
Oh, hunky dinky. Oh, my goodness.
From the Hare Krishna, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I bought the book and I took it home. I read it in one night and I just was totally excited thinking this was the answer.
Oh, my.
So I checked out. I found out where the local Milwaukee chapter was meeting and I called and found out when their next orientation meeting was. And I was going to go to this. And like a good pre-salvation evangelist, I had convinced three of my other friends to go with me.
Oh, my goodness.
And here again, you talk about the miracles of God. The very night that I was to go to this orientation meeting, 10 minutes before I was to leave my parents' home to go pick up my friends and take them to this meeting, an old friend of mine from the UW Oshkosh, out of the blue, calls my parents' home, and he tells me his name, who this is, on the phone.
Right.
I hadn't talked to him in a year and a half. I had no clue that he even knew I was from Menominee Falls, because this was at UW Oshkosh, and most of us just used nicknames. We didn't even use our real names up there.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that he was on the phone, and he asked me, you know, what I'd been doing. And so I told him a little bit about what was up, and I told him I was going to this Transcendental Meditation meeting. And I'll never forget his words. He said, Joe, he said, don't do that. Please don't do that. It's worse than drugs.
Oh, wow.
And that's all I had to hear. Fortunately, the Lord gave me the wisdom to take that advice.
Okay.
And I didn't go. And then he invited me to his church, actually to a kind of a young people's meeting of some kind, and at a restaurant where they had like a Bible study or whatever. And I went, and it was different, of course, totally radically different from the life that I'd been experiencing. But for whatever reason, at that time, it didn't click. So that was in the spring of 1976, and I just continued to search for the truth. I was at this 4th of July, the 1976 bicentennial 4th of July was a big deal, and there was a big party at this family's home. And so I went to this party, and in walks out under the back patio where I was, walks this young lady who had been a friend of mine a couple years before up at UW Eau Claire.
Okay.
And she was kind of in the same lifestyle that I was in at that time. And so when she walked into this party and I looked at her, immediately I recognized that something radical had to have changed in her life. She was just a totally different person, beaming, smiling from ear to ear, had her new husband along with her.
Right.
And they sat down at the table. Then I was told the gospel and how they had received personally the Lord Jesus just a few weeks before.
Yeah.
And they came over to their family's home, and I happened to be sitting there ripe as a tomato to hear the gospel.
Isn't that amazing? Well, Pastor Joe, we have run out of time, but I can't wait to hear, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story this next time as we get back together again, because I can see the finger of God in numbers of things that you just shared with us, and obviously that's the way God works. And so if you are praying for some folks that don't know Christ as their personal Savior, I trust that this broadcast will be an encouragement to you to continue to pray and ask that God will do what only He can do to bring people into the lives of those for whom you're praying and the gospel to be presented to them. And so until next time, I pray that you'll have a fantastic day and God will bless you in a wonderful way.